My name is Nick Corbett. I've given this same presentation a few times over the past couple of weeks, an intro to ChatGPT by OpenAI. For anyone who is unfamiliar with ChatGPT, or you know, you're just hearing the word thrown around, it's a virtual AI assistant. So if you want to think about it in a way that you may be familiar, think Siri, right? So on your iPhone, you sit there and you say, hey, Siri, and then you ask a question and it gives you output. But I'm sure as you've all realized, Siri is not the most intelligent. With ChatGPT, we really have access to a much more intelligent artificial intelligence or AI or large language model. And I think technically all I think it does is recognize patterns in text. So when we give it a prompt, an input, and we ask a question, it'll recognize the patterns within our question, within the patterns of all the text it's been trained on, and give us output. And the special thing about the output of ChatGPT is that it's very readable and it feels like it's coming from a human. There we are. I'm using JAWS 2023. I have a few windows open presently. I have a Google Chrome browser window open. I also have a Microsoft Word document open, and then I have another Google Chrome incognito window open. In our Word document, we have pre-written prompts, so I don't have to write them live here. In our Google Chrome window, we have our ChatGPT user interface with me signed in with a pro account, or as they call it, a plus account. And then on my incognito window, I have the ChatGPT login page, just so you guys can see what that looks like. And if anyone needs the URL to find where to sign up with ChatGPT, Jerry can get in touch with me and I'll pass along anything that we need there. First, let's just start with this login page for ChatGPT. And I'm going to use Alt and my Tab key, holding down Alt, pressing Tab continuously until I hear the window I want, and then releasing Alt.
ChatGPT. Prompts for demo presentation. ChatGPT vertical bar OpenAI-Google Chrome. ChatGPT vertical bar OpenAI-Google Chrome left.
I just pressed Control to silence the output, and I'm going to navigate to the top of this page with Control Home. I'm going to attempt to maximize this window just to confirm that it is with Alt space followed by X.
Context menu, leading menus.
Okay. This login page for ChatGPT, you'll notice when I read the page title, this is what you hear.
Title is ChatGPT vertical bar OpenAI-Google Chrome left paren incognito right paren.
Right. So the main thing you're hearing there is ChatGPT OpenAI. OpenAI is the company that creates ChatGPT. In your signup process for ChatGPT, you're going to need to verify your email address as well as your phone number. And, you know, you'll input your email. It'll send you a code. You type that in. Put in your phone number. It sends you a code. You type that in. And then you have your account. You can sign into the OpenAI account or the ChatGPT page. They're kind of like the same log information, but sometimes you have more functionality to manage your account through the OpenAI end of things as opposed to the ChatGPT user interface. But I imagine for most people on this call, you're just going to want to sign in and then maybe bookmark the ChatGPT user interface, and then you can just have your discussions with the AI as you see fit. To make sure you're on the right page when you attempt this yourself, I'm just going to down arrow here so you can hear a bit of the content on this login page. I'm going to hit down arrow now.
Welcome to ChatGPT. Login with your OpenAI account to continue. Login button.
All right, and there's our login button. And if you don't have an account, just down arrow again.
Sign up button.
And there's your sign up button. So I'll leave this page open here for now. Let me navigate over to my page where I'm actually signed in to the service. I'm going to do Alt Tab again until I reach, I think, my inbox, because that's in the same tab as my ChatGPT window or tab.
Screen sharing media, C:\, inbox left paren one right paren dash Nick Corbett. New chat dash Google.
And I used Alt Tab to get over to my Google Chrome signed in window, and I was on my inbox, and I just pressed Control 4 to move to my fourth tab. Keep in mind, when you're in a web browser, you can use Control 1 through 9 to move through your first 9 open tabs. You can also use Control Tab to move between open tabs within a web browser window. Let me navigate to the top of this ChatGPT page with Control Home.
New chat.
And we hear new chat. One command to keep in mind whenever you come to ChatGPT is the F5 key to refresh your page. That will bring you back to this new chat page at any time. So if you're having a conversation with it, back and forth messages, and you decide you want to start a new conversation, F5, it will start a new conversation. I'm going to press F5 now, just so we can get a sense of what will happen.
New chat edit.
And we hear new chat edit. It automatically focused us on an edit box or a text input field. And it's the only edit box on this page. Notice if I press the E key to navigate by edit field, the screen reader is going to wrap.
Wrapping to top, send a message dot 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 edit.
And this edit field even has the label send a message dot dot dot. So that's nice accessibility there. Unfortunately, prior to this edit field, there are a couple of unlabeled buttons. If I up arrow,
send a message dot 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 heading level one check plus.
We don't see it right now, but we will see it once we start a conversation. But notice right there, we did hear it say chat plus. When I signed up, I did, you know, subscribe to this. ChatGPT Plus is $20 a month, which it's a little bit more expensive than YouTube Premium, Netflix, right? But I think it's worth it, and I'm going to continue to pay for it. But even if you don't do ChatGPT Plus, you have access to ChatGPT, and that's going to be your standard free version. The difference is that once the ChatGPT network gets a high velocity of usage, a lot of users on there, it will kick out the free users, and the Plus users will still have access. So if you are a free user and you've seen the message, ChatGPT is at capacity right now, that's why. It's because people who pay or developers are getting priority to the network as opposed to free users. One other difference between ChatGPT Plus and regular ChatGPT is your access to ChatGPT 3.5 versus ChatGPT version 4. ChatGPT 3.5 is the default AI model for both ChatGPT and GPT Plus. And 3.5, it's great. It's going to give you fantastic output. If you've never used ChatGPT before, you're going to be thoroughly impressed with it with 3.5. But if you switch to ChatGPT 4, which you have access to in the Plus account, you're going to get output that is even more creative, even more kind of human styled, and just it seems like more intelligent. I would describe it as ChatGPT 3.5 is your, it seems like ChatGPT has a bachelor's degree, whereas GPT 4 seems like it has a doctoral degree or a master's degree, right? So it just seems a little bit more intelligent and a little bit more capable. When we are signed in here to ChatGPT and we're using JAWS, we can use C to move by combo box to find the different versions of ChatGPT available to us. I'm going to press C now.
Wrapping to top, model default left paren GPT dash 3.5 right paren button menu collapsed.
And here we heard model default 3.5 button collapsed. We will change to GPT 4 in a minute. It would be simply hitting enter here using up arrow and hitting enter to select the variation. And then we're back on this exact same page. It's very easy to switch. But we'll leave the default here so we can get an initial impression of ChatGPT. I'll start by just typing hi to it or saying a couple random things to it to see what it says back. And then I'll go to my Microsoft Word document and just copy some prompts I've already written. I'm going to use E to navigate to the enter a message text input field for ChatGPT at this point.
Send a message dot 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 edit.
And notice that when we came to this page, we did not see my screen reader automatically engage with this text edit field. Many of you, I imagine, have the default settings for your JAWS screen reader. And one of those default settings includes auto forms mode. And that means that when a web page is encountered that has a text input field, your screen reader will automatically detect that text field, engage with it, and activate forms mode, meaning that you can type into it. So if I were to hit like HI here, you would type hi. Whereas since I'm not engaged with this yet, I would move by heading and then list item. I'm just going to hit enter and it'll pop into forms mode for this text field.
Send a message dot 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 edit.
And we hear a little pop. I'll also let you know that in this demo, I do not have my typing feedback on, so you're not going to hear letters spoken as I type them, but I'll verbalize what I'm doing the whole time. Sometimes with ChatGPT, when we enter into this text input field to enter a prompt or a message, as they call it here, for some reason, the screen reader won't engage and typing won't do anything. If that happens, you're simply going to tab forward and shift tab back, and that's going to kind of like engage the focus mode of the web page with your screen reader. And then in my experience, you'll be able to type into this text field every time. To test if the text is being entered into this field presently, I'm just going to press a random letter. I'll press F and I'll backspace.
F.
And it did. It typed F and I deleted F, so I know I'm engaged with ChatGPT. I'm just going to write hi, H-I, and hit enter. And when I hit enter, we don't hear anything, but that is what sent the message to ChatGPT. At this point, I'm going to escape out of this text input field with my escape key.
Virtual PC cursor.
I could have also activated my virtual PC cursor with the keyboard shortcut, but escape will work. When we come to web pages, many people who use screen readers default to using headings for navigation. We think, here's a web page, and where is the priority topic of this page, and what are the subtopics to that priority topic? And do those subtopics have any subtopics? Those are typically what we would refer to as our headings at level 1, 2, and 3. ChatGPT does not use headings to indicate messages being inputted into it. which I think could be helpful. But what it does do is for every message that I enter, it associates a graphic with that message with my account email address. So I'm going to use G to move to locate a message that I sent to ChatGPT. And since interacting with ChatGPT is like a conversation, think on your iPhone when you go into messages and you're texting a friend or a family member. Your newest messages are located closest to the text field and your older messages get pushed higher and higher up the screen. It's the same thing here with ChatGPT. So right now with me focused on the text edit input field, I want to locate the closest message input to that text field. And I'm going to have to navigate backwards. And I'm looking for a graphic, so I'm going to use Shift G. I'll press that now.
newcorbett4883@gmail.com/graphic.
And I think if we want to read what's being written here, control down arrow, read by paragraph is going to work good for us, just so we don't have to hit down arrow multiple times to read line by line, but either will work. I'm going to use control down arrow now.
Hi.
That's my input to ChatGPT, just hi. And now control down arrow will show me the response from ChatGPT.
Hello, how can I assist you today?
Great. So how can I assist you today? I have a few prompts written out in my Microsoft Word document. And just so I'm not typing those and so you guys can also see a little bit of navigation with JAWS, I'm going to alt tab over to that Microsoft Word document.
ChatGPT vertical bar screen sharing meeting C:\ChatGPT prompts for demo presentation dash Word.
I'm in my prompts for demo presentation dash Word. I'm focused on the top line of this document. I'm just going to read this first line with insert up arrow.
Heading level one sample prompts.
Good. And now I'm going to do control down arrow to move to my next paragraph, keeping in mind that screen readers identify paragraphs as any body of text that has a hard return after it with the enter key. I'll do control down arrow and we'll hear the first prompt.
Can you please introduce yourself to the visually impaired and blind user group? Left paren, vivid, right paren.
Cool. So I'm going to ask ChatGPT to introduce itself to this group. Let me see if shift down arrow will select this.
Can you please introduce yourself to the visually impaired and blind user group? Left paren, vivid, right paren question, selected.
So I just selected that prompt. Keep in mind, I could type that right into ChatGPT. But as we go on, my prompts are going to get longer and longer. So I thought this may save us some time. I'll hit control C to copy this prompt.
Copied selection to clipboard.
Now I'm going to alt tab once back over to our ChatGPT window.
Task switching. Hello, assistant slash Google Chrome.
And notice last time we were here in this ChatGPT window, it was announcing the title of the window as new chat. And if I hit insert T, that page title has now changed. Let's read this title once more.
Title is Hello, assistant slash Google Chrome dash Nick left paren personal right paren.
Hello, assistance is what it's calling it. Based upon the prompt that you give ChatGPT, ChatGPT is going to intelligently come up with a page title that it feels reflects the content of your conversation. There's no way to really anticipate what that is, that page title will be, but it's typically pretty accurate. So hello, assistance. I think so. All I said was hi. I'll hit E to look for the input field here.
Send a message, dot, 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 edit.
I'll hit enter.
Send a message, dot, 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 edit.
I'm just going to make sure it's typing, single letter and backspace.
F.
Yep. And I'm going to paste my prompt. I don't believe I pasted yet, but I'm still in the text field. So I'm going to hit paste with control V.
Pasted from clipboard.
Now, I could up and down arrow, left and right arrow, control left and right arrow, line, character, or word, respectively, to move around the content of this text input field. Let me just hit up arrow, make sure it kind of pasted something.
Can you please introduce yourself to the visually impaired?
Yeah, so it's reading the prompt here in the text field. I'm going to hit enter, which is going to submit this prompt to ChatGPT. And now I'm going to escape out of the text input field.
Virtual PC cursor.
Now I'm going to hit Shift G to move backwards by graphic to the most recent input.
newcorbett4883@gmail.com/graphic.
Now I'm going to use control down arrow to move by paragraph to read the input that I gave ChatGPT.
Can you please introduce yourself to the visually impaired and blind user group? Left paren, vivid, right paren.
And now as I control down arrow, we're going to interact with ChatGPT's output. And it may write its response in multiple paragraphs, so we may need to use control down arrow multiple times. I'm going to press control down arrow now.
Certainly. Hello, Vivek. My name is ChatGPT. I am an AI language model designed to interact with humans in natural language. I am here to assist you with any questions or tasks you may have using text-based communication. As an AI language model, I can understand and respond to text-based inputs such as keyboard input, voice-to-text software, or braille displays. I can help you with a wide range of tasks such as answering questions, providing information, generating text, or assisting with tasks related to productivity, entertainment, or accessibility. Please let me know if you have any questions or if there is anything else I can do to assist you. Unlabeled 0 button, unlabeled 1 button.
Okay, and now we come to these unlabeled buttons here. I haven't used these unlabeled buttons yet. I've inspected the code on this webpage, and I can't figure out from the code that make up these buttons what the purpose of the buttons are. But they haven't gotten in my way yet. If anyone can visually see what their purpose is and wants to chime in, that would be welcome, but not necessary. So there's our first prompt. I could write something back to ChatGPT at this point and ask about any aspect of what it just said. Just think about it like a person. Talk to it like it is a human, and you're going to get your best output. One thing to keep in mind about prompts is, you know, the preciseness of what you say, telling it exactly what you're looking for. The more vague your input for ChatGPT, the more general the response it's going to give you. The more precise your input, the more unique the output it's going to give you. Let's just move on to a few other prompts. I've pre-written some prompts that I think will give a good representative sampling of what it's capable of. And hopefully we'll have some time. If you guys want to give me any prompts that you want me to give to it, I'm happy to do that as well. I'm going to Alt-Tab over to my Word document.
Prompts for demo.
I'm going to select my next prompt.
I'm looking for a book recommendation. Can you please describe what goes into writing a good prompt for you?
We'll do select this prompt.
Can you please describe what goes into writing a good prompt for you? Question selected.
Copy. Control C.
Copied selection to clipboard.
Alt tab back to the ChatGPT window in my Chrome browser.
Hello, assistant.
E to move to the edit field.
Send a message dot 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 edit.
Enter to engage with it.
Send a message dot 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 edit.
Make sure I'm typing a letter and backspace.
F.
And paste.
Paste it from clipboard.
Enter to submit the prompt. Escape out of the edit field.
Virtual PC cursor.
Shift G to move to the most recent input.
NickCorbett4883@gmail.com graphic.
I'll do control down arrow now.
Can you please describe what goes into writing a good prompt for you?
And we'll do control down again to read through what it has to say.
Sure. Writing a good prompt for me involves a few key considerations, colon. List of five items. 1. Clarity, colon. A good prompt should be clear and unambiguous so that I can understand exactly what you're asking for. Avoid using complex sentence structures or jargon that might confuse me. 2. Specificity, colon. The more specific you can be about your request, the better. If you can provide me with details about what you're looking for, it will be easier for me to provide a helpful response. 3. Context, colon. Providing context is also important for me to understand the intent behind your request. For example, if you're asking me a question about a particular topic, it can be helpful to provide some background information about that topic.
All right, a little background information. So we'll see an example of a prompt that does this in just a minute.
4. Conciseness, colon. While specificity and context are important, it's also helpful if your prompt is concise and to the point. Long and convoluted prompts can make it harder for me to understand what you're asking for and can lead to less accurate responses. 5. Politeness, colon. Finally, it's always appreciated when prompts are polite and respectful in tone. While I'm an AI language model, it's still important to treat me with kindness and respect.
You see right there, so they say ChatGPT is not sentient, it's just an AI. Why does it want us to be polite? I'm always polite to it because I'm, you know, once it does become alive, once it does gain sentience, I want it to remember me as someone who was kind to it. we'll do control down, see if there's anything else here.
List end. By keeping these considerations in mind, you can write a prompt that is clear, specific, contextual, concise, and polite, which will help me better understand your request and provide you with a more accurate and helpful response.
I'll do control down again.
Unlabeled 0.
And there's the unlabeled button. So we know that's the end of its response. Let's move over here. And I think my next prompt is going to ask it for a book recommendation and give it a little bit of background info on me.
I just wanted to let you know that the two unlabeled buttons that you're seeing are thumbs up and thumbs down. So for every response that ChatGPT provides, to the extreme right on the top row, there are these two thumbs up and thumbs down icons. So that's what they are in.
Okay, thank you very much, Srinivas. That's helpful. And I think when you do access ChatGPT on a mobile browser through your iPhone, for some reason they're encountered as labeled. So I don't know why I didn't make that connection, but thank you for confirming that.
Also, just to mention, this is Eric Manser. Visually on the screen, there is also a regenerate response button, which seems to be dynamic. And, you know, as you hit enter and ChatGPT is generating a response, it'll say stop generating, or, you know, when it has generated, it'll say regenerate. So I don't know if that's having an effect as well, maybe.
Yeah, thank you, Eric. And we will see once we switch over to ChatGPT-4, we'll be able to witness that regenerate response button switch between stop generating and regenerate. ChatGPT-4, which is more intelligent, generates text at a slower rate than GPT-3.5. So that'll give us the context of seeing that button. But I think if I do move to my edit field here,
send a message dot 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 edit.
And if I up arrow, we should see that regenerate response is labeled.
Send a message dot regenerate response button.
Yep, that one's labeled. And if I up again,
unlabeled 14 button.
Unlabeled 14.
Unlabeled 1 button.
Unlabeled 1.
Unlabeled 0 button.
Unlabeled 0.
You're requested.
Okay, so there's 3 unlabeled buttons. Srinivas, you said one was thumbs up and one's thumbs down. Not sure what the third would be.
An arrow, the down arrow. I think it is just probably it collapses the chat if it is too long. I don't know. But it's a icon that shows a down arrow.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you. All right. Let's keep going with our prompts. So I'm going to alt tab over to our Word document.
Prompts for demo presentation.
And I'm just going to control up arrow, see what prompt I was on.
Can you please describe what goes into writing a good prompt for you?
And we'll do control down arrow.
I'm looking for a book recommend.
I say control to silence the output. We'll hear this prompt after we paste it into ChatGPT. So I'm just going to control shift down.
I'm looking for
control C.
Quad pizza.
And now alt tab over to ChatGPT.
Hello, assistant Stan.
I'm going to use E to move to our text input.
Send a message dot 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 edit.
Enter to pop in there.
Send a message.
Paste.
Paste it from clipboard.
And see, this time I just kind of trusted that text was being entered. I didn't do that little test that I usually do of typing one letter. I'm going to use my up arrow just to see if there is text to interact with here now.
Moby Dick.
There is. And so we heard Moby Dick. So we know that some of the text I pasted was there. Let's hit enter to submit this prompt. Escape.
Virtual PC.
Shift G.
Nincorbit 4000.
Control down to read the prompt that I gave it.
I'm looking for a book recommendation. My favorite books include 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Moby Dick, and Robinson Crusoe. I would like to be both entertained and exposed to historically accurate ideas while I read.
So now let's see what book it thinks I want to read. We'll control down.
Based on your preferences, I would recommend the classic novel quote Treasure Island quote by Robert Louis Stevenson. Like the books you mentioned, quote Treasure Island quote is an adventure story that takes place in the historical context of the 18th century. The novel follows the young protagonist Jim Hawkins as he sets out to find a buried treasure with a group of sailors, including the infamous Long John Silver. The book is full of action, suspense, and plot twists that will keep you entertained throughout. Additionally, quote Treasure Island quote is known for its historical accuracy in terms of the portrayal of seafaring life and pirate culture during the era. You will also find a lot of interesting themes and ideas explored in the book, such as greed, loyalty, and betrayal. Overall, quote Treasure Island quote is a classic adventure novel that is both entertaining and historically accurate. I think it would be a great fit for your reading preferences. Unlabeled zero button.
And there's our button. So notice I've given ChatGPT this prompt, like this exact same prompt, at least one other time this morning, and it recommended a different book earlier. So it doesn't just do the same thing every time. I gave it a very similar prompt, slightly different a little while ago, and it again gave a different book. It's not just like it's triggered, right? So if we say 1 + 1 = 2, and we keep saying, here's this prompt, it's not going to keep giving us 2. It may think a little bit differently about it and give us a different answer. Let's grab our next prompt to illustrate another point. So we'll alt tab to our Word document.
Prompts.
And I'll control up.
I'm looking for a book recommend.
That's the prompt we just did. Control down.
I am concerned about climate change.
Okay, so here's a prompt about climate change. We're going to select this prompt.
I am concerned about.
Copy.
Copy.
And move to ChatGPT.
Hello, assistant.
Move to our edit field with E.
Send a message dot dot dot.
Forms mode with enter.
Send a message.
Paste with control V.
Paste it from clipboard.
Up arrow to make sure the text is here.
Year 2100.
Control to silence the output and escape. Or actually enter to submit. Now escape.
Virtual PC.
Shift G to move to our most recent message.
Nincorbit 4800.
And we will control down to read the full prompt that I gave it.
I am concerned about climate change. I live in Massachusetts, and I want to ensure that if I live to the year 2100, that I will be safe. Can you let me know the climate effects I am most likely to experience in Massachusetts over the next 77 years?
All right, 77, 2023, roughly 2100. We'll control down.
Climate change is a complex and multifaceted issue, and its effects on any particular region can be difficult to predict with absolute certainty. That being said, there are some general climate effects that are likely to be experienced in Massachusetts over the next several decades based on current scientific understanding and projections.
Control down.
Here are some of the climate effects that Massachusetts may experience over the next 77 years due to climate change, colon.
Control down.
List of 4 items.
Good, we know it's a list.
1. Rising sea levels, colon, Massachusetts has a long coastline and many low-lying areas, making it particularly vulnerable to rising sea levels. It is projected that sea levels could rise by up to 10 feet by the end of the century, which could lead to increased flooding, erosion, and damage to coastal infrastructure.
Control down.
2. Increased heat and humidity, colon, as global temperatures continue to rise, Massachusetts is likely to experience more frequent and more intense heat waves, as well as increased humidity. This could have a range of impacts on public health, energy demand, and the natural environment.
Control down.
3. Changes in precipitation patterns: climate change is expected to lead to changes in precipitation patterns, with some areas experiencing more frequent and more intense rain events, while others experience more frequent droughts. This could have impacts on water availability, agricultural productivity, and other aspects of the state's economy.
Hold down.
4. Increased risk of wildfires: as temperatures rise and precipitation patterns shift, Massachusetts may also be at increased risk of wildfires. This could have impacts on public safety, air quality, and natural resources.
Control down.
List end. These are just a few examples of the potential climate effects that Massachusetts may experience over the next several decades. While it is difficult to predict exactly how these impacts will unfold, it is important to take action now to mitigate the worst effects of climate change and to adapt to the changes that are already underway. Unlabeled zero button.
And that's our unlabeled button. So ChatGPT is not a climate denier. Well, before we go to another prompt, let me show you how we can move back to other prompts I've asked it. So we've been using Shift G to get to just the most recent prompt. But let me do Shift G 3 times.
Nincorbit 4800.
Control to silence the output. And now Control down arrow, we'll see one of my older prompts.
Can you please describe what goes into writing a good prompt for you?
If I do Shift G 2 more times.
Nincorbit 4.
Control down.
Can you please introduce yourself to the visually impaired and blind user group?
Right. And if I control down again, we'll see its prior response.
Certainly. Hello, Vivid. My name is ChatGPT.
So we, as long as we are in a conversation like this and we haven't hit F5, our messages will continue to thread, right? Stay in this one particular thread. And we can reopen a past conversation too, right, from this page. But for now, let's try this. Let's hit F5 to refresh to a new conversation.
New chat, edit.
And now let's go grab a new prompt. So we'll Alt-Tab over to our Word document.
Prompts. I am concerned about the climate change.
That's the prompt we just did. I'll control down.
I'm legally blind, and I know how to use both the JAWS and NVDA screen readers.
Okay, this one's going to be asking about job recommendations. We're going to do Control Shift down to select this prompt.
I'm legally blind.
Control C to copy.
Copied selection to clipboard.
And keep in mind, if you're just having a conversation with ChatGPT, you're probably typing right into the text input field on the user interface of the tab in your web browser. So you're not going to be doing this copy and paste stuff from Microsoft Word. Unless, of course, you prefer to write in Microsoft Word, which I know is a preference of many screen reader users. We'll Alt-Tab over to our web browser.
Task switching. New chat dash.
And we noticed before we left this web browser tab to Alt-Tab over to our Word document that our focus was on our text input field. So I'm going to assume that focus stayed there and just hit Enter.
Send a message dot 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 edit.
And let me do my little test to make sure it's typing. F and backspace.
F.
Good. And paste.
Pasted from clipboard.
Enter to submit, escape,
virtual PC,
shift G,
Nincorbit 4000,
and now control down to read the full prompt that I'm giving it.
I'm legally blind, and I know how to use both the JAWS and NVDA screen readers. I am familiar with Microsoft Office and Google Workspace applications on Windows. I enjoy interacting with people, being creative, and spending time in nature. What jobs would you recommend I pursue?
So let's see what it recommends for us. We'll control down.
As a language model, I can suggest some career paths that may align with your skills and interests. But ultimately, the best career choice for you will depend on your personal preferences and strengths. Here are some job suggestions that may be suitable for someone with your skills and interests, : List of six items.
Okay, list of six items. So it's putting this in the list. And we have six recommendations. Let's see if they all make sense.
1. Accessibility specialist: with your knowledge of screen readers and experience in using assistive technology, you could work as an accessibility specialist, helping organizations ensure that their websites and digital content are accessible to people with disabilities.
Next.
2. Customer service representative: your passion for interacting with people can make you an excellent candidate for customer service positions. Many companies have remote positions available that can be done from home.
Next.
3. Content creator: your creativity can be put to use in creating content for websites, social media platforms, or blogs. You could write about topics you are passionate about, such as nature or assistive technology, and share your perspectives with a wider audience.
Next.
4. Accessibility tester: similar to an accessibility specialist, you could work as an accessibility tester, ensuring that software and websites are accessible to people with disabilities.
Next.
5. Outdoor guide: given your love for nature, you could work as an outdoor guide, leading tours or hikes for people who want to explore the natural world.
Maybe. Next.
6. Social media manager: with your knowledge of social media platforms and ability to create engaging content, you could work as a social media manager, creating and managing content for businesses or organizations.
Next.
List end. These are just a few examples of jobs that could be suitable for you. I encourage you to explore further and find a career that aligns with your passions and strengths. Best of luck to you.
So what I'd recommend if anyone is trying to use ChatGPT in this way to find a job or to identify what their interests may be and then how they can leverage those interests into an employable situation follow up with these questions. Maybe you liked recommendation three and you say, I like the third thing you recommended here. Can you tell me more about how I can get started? And then just keep going back and forth with it. Let me alt tap over to our document here.
Prompts for demo edit.
So we're going to do one more kind of basic prompt here, and then we're going to do a prompt where we're actually going to have it write a cover letter for us. So this prompt, let me select it.
I'm legally blind. I'm considering moving period.
This one is I'm considering moving. And this time we're actually going to ask ChatGPT to output a table and not just text. So let me alt tab over to our browser window.
Job ideas for blind.
And we're no longer talking about job ideas. So I'm going to refresh with F5.
New chat, edit.
And I'm going to hit enter.
Send a message dot dot dot.
Make sure it's typing.
F blank blank.
It is. And I'll paste.
Paste it from clipboard.
Enter to submit this prompt and escape.
Virtual PC.
Shift G to move backwards by graphic to the most recent input.
NickCorbett4883@gmail.com.
And now we're going to control down arrow and hear this full prompt that we just gave ChatGPT.
I'm considering moving. Right now I live in Massachusetts. I would like to move to a city in the USA that has access to public transportation and where the median property value is between $200,000 and $600,000. I would also only like to live in a city where the median rent is less than $3,000 per month. Can you show me a table of 10 cities that fit this description? And can you include columns in this table that show the population of these cities, average household income, and popular attractions and things to do?
So let's see where ChatGPT thinks we can live. Let's do control down.
Certainly. Here is a table of 10 cities in the USA that meet your criteria, colon.
Now, since we're about to interact with a table, I'm not going to use control down arrow to move by paragraph. I'm just going to do down arrow to see if I can encounter the table. I'll hit down arrow once.
Table with 6 columns and 11 rows.
So it's indicating the table. Let me go down once more.
City.
Cool. There's city. So now that I'm engaged with this table, you know, depending upon your screen reader, you may have the option to enter into a layered table mode with JAWS with insert space followed by T, and then just use your arrows to move around. But I'm going to use Alt Control in my left hand plus my arrow keys in my right hand to move around this table, which will also be the same with NVDA. We're in the city column. Let's just do Alt Control down and see what cities we could live in.
Pittsburgh, PA, row 2.
All right, Pittsburgh. We'll come all the way down.
Buffalo, NY, row 3. St. Louis, MO, row Milwaukee, WI, row 5, Indianapolis, IN, row 6, Cincinnati, O, row 7, Memphis, TN, row 8, Oklahoma City, OK, row 9, Louisville, KY, row 10, Birmingham, L, row 11.
So of these, and notice it's row 11 because the first row has our column headers of city, population, median household income. The one that stuck out to me was Buffalo. I like spicy food and I'd like to ride a buffalo. So I'm going to do Alt Control up till I reach Buffalo, NY.
Louis, Oak, Memphis, Indian, Milwaukee, St. Buffalo, NY, row 3.
Now let's come right.
Population 255,284, column 2.
Okay, so about 250,000 people live there. And notice that this table does not exist anywhere, right? So it's not like ChatGPT grabbed a table from the internet and then popped it out for us. It distilled information that it's been trained on into a table. It created this table. And the fact that it just read out the population as well as the column header for that column of population, 255,000, is pretty cool. So it wrote this table, it coded this table, and it did it excessively. Let's come right and see what else it told us about Buffalo.
Median property value, $136,800, column 3.
So it actually undershot the median property value. I said between 200 and 600,000. So that's interesting. We'll go right.
Median rent, $1,075, column 4.
Okay, good. That's definitely below 3,000 to the right.
Average household income, $41,068.
Okay, that's, I think, below the median for the U.S. in total. So that might be an affordable place to live. Control right.
Popular attractions / things to do, Buffalo and Erie County Botanical Gardens, Albright-Knox Art Gallery, Buffalo Zoo, column 6.
Let's look at one more. I'll come to the left.
Average meat population, city, beginning of row.
Yeah, I'll come down.
St. Louis, MO, row 4.
Okay, here's St. Louis. Let's just see if the output it gave us was within our parameters. We'll come right for St. Louis.
Population, 300,576. Median property value, $141,700.
Okay, still under the minimum that we gave it of 200,000.
Median rent, $1,065.
Definitely cheaper than Boston.
Average household income, $52,478.
Good, a little bit more expensive than Buffalo, or more income than Buffalo.
Popular attractions / things to do, Gateway Arch, St. Louis Zoo, Missouri Botanical Garden, column 6.
this is just to illustrate that it can output a table for us, which I think is pretty neat. We're going to refresh here because our next prompt doesn't have anything to do with this. We'll hit F5.
New chat, edit.
And now let's move over to our Word document with Alt Tab.
Prompts for demo, edit.
Control down.
Heading level 2 draft cover letter.
Okay, draft cover letter. So I'm going to quickly use my control down and just select a bunch of text. And then we'll read this prompt after I give it to ChatGPT.
Can you please, can you, dear, my blank, sample webs, can you sample blank, unselect, copied, so, new chat dash, wrapping to top, send a message dot D.
Okay, so I'm going to paste here into the ChatGPT edit field a bunch of text.
Paste it from clipboard.
And I'll hit enter to submit it. Escape.
Virtual PC cursor.
Shift G to move to the input.
Nicorbit 4883 at gmail.com graphic.
So we're going to read the input that I gave to ChatGPT, and then we're going to read its output. Next, we're going to switch to ChatGPT-4 and give the exact same input and see how its output changes to see the difference between 3.5 and 4. So here we go. We'll go down and read my prompt.
Can you please revise the following draft cover letter to be more clear and compelling? Dear hiring manager, my name is John Smith, and I am interested in your accessibility specialist role. I have experience teaching people with visual impairments how to use assistive technologies and mainstream productivity tools on Windows. I do not have experience testing digital technologies, but I do use digital technologies with assistive technologies on a regular basis. I live in Massachusetts, and I am open to working both remotely and in person. Dear left bracket hiring manager's name right bracket.
Right, so now here's the start of how it's giving us. So it's telling us that we should insert the real name, and let's go down and see how it revised my cover letter.
I am excited to submit my application for the accessibility specialist position at left bracket company name right bracket. As an experienced educator, I am confident that my skills and knowledge align perfectly with the requirements of this role. In my previous role, I taught individuals with visual impairments how to use assistive technologies and mainstream productivity tools on Windows. Through this experience, I developed a deep understanding of the challenges that people with disabilities face when interacting with digital technologies. I am passionate about finding solutions that empower individuals with disabilities to succeed and thrive, and I believe that this role would provide me with an opportunity to do just that. While I do not have direct experience testing digital technologies, I have extensive experience using assistive technologies in conjunction with digital tools. This has allowed me to gain a comprehensive understanding of the needs and expectations of users with disabilities. I am confident that I can leverage this knowledge to provide valuable insights and feedback that can help improve the accessibility of your products and services. As a resident of Massachusetts, I am open to working both remotely and in person. I am a quick learner, a team player, and a problem solver. I believe that my skills and experience make me an ideal candidate for this position. Thank you for considering my application. I'll look forward to the opportunity to discuss my qualifications further. Sincerely, left bracket your name, right bracket.
Okay, so I'll tell you that this is a lot better than the output that I first got when I gave this prompt earlier to ChatGPT 3.5. So let's see if there's really any difference. We'll refresh with F5.
New chat.
Go to the top of the page with Control Home.
New chat.
We'll hit C to look for our combo box.
Model default left paren GPT-3.5 right paren button menu collapsed.
And we're going to hit enter to pop into this.
Model list box.
And we're going to up arrow.
GPT-4, 1 of 3.
And the 3 of 3 is legacy, which is even older than 3.5. I wouldn't go there. We'll hit enter here.
Model GPT-4 button menu. To activate, press enter.
And we'll escape.
Virtual PC.
Now it's the exact same process. I'm just going to hit E to move to our input field.
Send a message dot, dot, send a message dot.
Repaste my prompt.
Paste it from clipboard. Open to working both.
I just hit up arrow to make sure the text was there, and I'll hit enter to submit it. Escape.
Virtual PC cursor.
Now, let me up arrow.
Send a message dot dot dot. Stop generating button.
Notice there's a stop generating button here. So GPT-4 is taking longer to think through this for us. So we're just going to monitor this stop generating button. Let me go down and up.
As an experienced educator in the field of...
So it jumped our focus there. I'll hit E to move back to the input.
Send a message dot...
And up arrow.
Mia may not have direct experience. Send a message. Send a mess. Stop generating button.
Still generating. So we'll give it a second. We can even start reading though while it's generating. So let's just see if we can do that. We'll shift G.
Nicorbit 4008.
Control down through my prompt because we've already heard it.
Can you please subject colon enthusiastic accessibility specialist candidate dash John Smith.
All right. So it even gave us a recommended subject line this time, assuming it's an email. GPT 3.5 did not do that. Control down.
Dear hiring manager, I hope this message finds you well. My name is John Smith, and I am writing to express my sincere interest in the accessibility specialist position at your esteemed organization. With my experience in teaching individuals with visual impairments to effectively utilize assistive and mainstream technologies, I am confident in my ability to make a significant contribution to your team.
That already seems more polished. control down again.
As an experienced educator in the field of accessibility, I have honed my skills in teaching visually impaired individuals to navigate Windows operating systems using assistive tools. My expertise in this area has allowed me to help users gain greater independence and enhance their productivity. While I may not have direct experience in testing digital technologies, my extensive use of digital tools in conjunction with assistive technologies has given me a solid understanding of the challenges faced by people with disabilities and how to address them effectively. Currently residing in Massachusetts, I am highly flexible and available to work in both remote and in-person capacities, depending on the needs of the organization. My adaptability, coupled with my passion for promoting accessibility and inclusivity, makes me a strong candidate for this role. Thank you for considering my application. I am eager to discuss further how my background and skills can contribute to your organization's mission of improving accessibility for all. Please do not hesitate to contact me at your earliest convenience so that we may arrange a time to speak. Sincerely, John Smith.
Right, so that's kind of a much improved cover letter there.
Question, can I use my iPhone to get to it and dictate voice over to ask a question and have Siri voice over to read it for me?
To be clear, we can use ChatGPT on any web browser. I'm just using Chrome by my default. And you can open up your ChatGPT in your mobile web browser like Safari or Chrome and interact with it there on the web. So that may be the easiest way to do it from your mobile device. If you did want to use it with Siri, I have a document I'll share with you also, Jerry, which is instructions on how to configure Siri with ChatGPT. And that gets a little bit more technical. I may not recommend it for beginners or people who may get lost navigating the internet. But if you're an intermediate, advanced, even a beginner who kind of is kind of comfortable following directions, you can do it. For Siri, you're going to need to create a Siri shortcut. And in the document I'll send with Jerry, there'll be a link you can go to GitHub to download that shortcut. And then all we do is we log into our OpenAI account, create a secret API key, copy that API key, and input it into our Siri shortcut. And then we could say something like, hey, Siri Pro, and then ask a question. And then it's not Siri responding, but ChatGPT responding through Siri.
I want to know if you can kind of camp on a previous answer to get extended answers. When you had the list of the six cities, one of the reasons why Boston did not make the table, is it possible to ask something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So simply all you would do after we put our initial input in, we're reading through the table, and we discover that Boston's not there, all we would do is hit ED to the edit field, enter to pop in, and then we would simply type, why did you decide not to include Boston on this list, and hit enter. Escape, shift G, down arrow. And we'll see its reasoning. Hopefully it'll share that with us. Many of those chat apps are built off of the GPT language model.
Yeah.
So they're kind of just rebranded versions of it.
I actually read an article in the New York Times by a staff writer, and he said very clearly, ChatGPT or AI chat is the most important invention in the history of humankind. There's plenty of negativity around the AI chat also. So maybe, do you have a sentence or two you could say on that, Nick?
I'd say it's one of the most, I think it's also one of the most important inventions because it essentially will allow an AI to do a lot of jobs that can be turned into a process. Yep. If we can write instructions on how to do our job, it's likely ChatGPT can understand those instructions and perform our job. And it's likely it can do it faster and at a better quality than we can do it. So the important thing, I think, moving forward for people who are working is to think about how can I ask the right questions so that I can lift up my value and use this as part of my job. So try and incorporate ChatGPT into what you do or large language models into what you do to become better at what you do. I think that's probably the gist.
Have you used it on the iPhone and do you think that it is equally as responsive? Do you ever worry when you've asked it a question and you get, as you spoke about with the book, one answer the first time and a different answer the second time?
When I set it up with Siri as a shortcut and then I'm talking with it verbally, it's nice because I can just go back and forth. When it's done saying something, it'll ask me, is there anything else? And then I can keep going. But I have found that those responses may be a little less quality than the ones I'm getting when I'm interacting with it through a desktop or mobile browser and actually typing into or dictating my inputs. That's a concern I have, but I like it with Siri just to use it on the fly. I used it the other day before a meeting I had with a company, and I said, I have 5 minutes before I meet with an executive with this company. this is what I'm talking about. What do I need to know? And it gave me a summary I listened to in 2 minutes, and then I was ready for the meeting. So that's useful with Siri. Well, you know, like when you open up, say, Seeing AI, or you open up one of these virtual navigation apps for your iPhone that is supposed to help people who are blind, and you get that alert that says, do not trust this. This is not a replacement for a guide dog or a cane. I would say that ChatGPT is not a replacement for the knowledge that you know or trust. It's meant to complement what you know and to expand what you know. I've asked it questions about screen readers. So I've said, what's the command to do this with JAWS? And it's given me the wrong answer. In that instance, I'll tell it, this is incorrect. Here's the correct answer. Why did you get this wrong? And usually it'll come back and say, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. You're correct. This is the right answer. And it'll give you an explanation. So you don't want to just trust it 100%. You want to be skeptical of its output. But I say I'm like 90% trusting when I interact with it.
It's not really thinking exactly. It's aggregating data that it finds, and it's taking data from so many sources so much faster than we've ever been able to do before. Someone took a major physics problem on which people had spent virtually their entire careers trying to solve this problem, and it put it in, and the answer came back, a clear, accurate answer within less than a minute. And then the person said, now can you give it back to me in Arabic? And it did it, and they read it and said it was letter perfect. So it really is very powerful.
For ChatGPT Plus users, they're rolling out plugins over the coming months. And one of these plugins is a browser plugin, which means that your inputs will not just access what ChatGPT has already been trained on, which is all data up through, I think, 2021, but it will be live. So you could literally come in here and say, what is the news for the day? And it will give you a customized newsletter for you.
Have you tried inputting, say, a table and asking it to analyze the table?
You can copy the text of a document. You can't presently upload a document, but that is another thing that's rolling out soon, where you can upload a CSV file or an image and have it describe the image or break down the data within the file you've uploaded. I have not tried to copy columns and rows and paste it into that text field, but it'd be an easy thing to test. But no, I haven't done that yet.
If you want to polish your writing, you can just write anything, copy and paste, let's say your resume. You can copy and paste it, or you have to ask it to polish it, or there's a special request.
I would give it a prompt. I wouldn't just paste, or else it's not going to know what your intention is. But you could do as simple as make this more compelling, make this clearer, easier to read. Just a simple one-liner prior to the text.
I just want to thank you very much for a great presentation. And I have a feeling we're going to be talking more about this topic.